The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Legit Bat. Hi to everyone in the chat. I haven't looked at the chat yet, but I'm sure you're there. If you're listening on the free stream, this is going to be on rockfin.com/legitbat too, so you can watch the video of our faces there. We have a human vibration on tonight, or HV, whatever you want to call her. We'll bring her on in a minute here. I just want to do a couple quick things. I haven't plugged our Patreon in a while, so if you want to go on patreon.com/legitbat, you can send us a couple bucks and we'll send you some stickers and keychains and, you know, dumb shit just to say thank you. Also, I've been meaning to shout out Christopher Romero on Instagram. He's at 49er Gang, I think is his handle, but he always sends me all these articles and videos and news clips and stuff, so thank you to that guy. He actually sends me too many. I can't even get to all of them all the time, but he sent me this really cool video that he wanted everyone to hear, and I don't remember what the name of it was, but I'll post it in the Instagram if you want to watch it. It's really interesting. It's kind of flat earthy or something. I watched about 5 minutes. It looked really interesting, but anyway, we're just going to get right into this here. Let me bring Human Vibration in. And Ben is over there too. How's it going?
It's going.
Hello, hello. Going great.
And if everything sounds good, please somebody let me know in the chat, because we did have audio problems last time that really sucked, because I went back and listened to it. It was awful. It really did sound like I was using a guitar pedal or something. I swear I wasn't. Oh. Anyway, HV, is that what you want to go by, HV?
Yeah, HV is good. Yeah.
Okay. So what brought you into this whole world? We always kind of start with that just because it's a good conversation starter. I heard you on Sam's show. I assume everybody who listens to our show also listens to Sam's show. But you're on with your twin flame, my Maria.
Yes.
And as soon as I heard the episode, I'm like, oh my God, I got to get you guys on too.
Yeah,
so I did hear you say that you had kind of a wake up this last year, just kind of like everyone else, you know. Well, not everyone else, but a lot of people this last year. So what was the kicker to that?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of 2020, it really did. The engine slowed down. This like constant mechanism, this constant loop, life in loop mode that we're all on as individuals. Like we all individually have our little loops with to and from work, to and from this, da 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 da, all day, every day, year after year, we get on a loop. And for the first time ever, that slowed on an individual level and also on a global level. All that energy output, all of that, like the whole mechanism within this realm, like all of us, our energy, we just slowed down. And it felt like time kind of slowed down too, because this year, it's already June. I mean, what? The year's almost half over. It's 2021 and the year's half over. How did that happen? I feel like last year with us physically slowing down, we slowed the machine a little bit. And in that slowing down, I felt like I was able to have a bit of clarity that I was already kind of on the path to see, but sometimes things just have to come into place for other things to happen. Like a locking mechanism, or, you know, things just have to kind of click into place. And so I think part of it was things that I was doing. I was living a healthier lifestyle. I'd gotten into like yoga a few years before. I'd really changed a lot of things that I was doing. I kind of like was priming myself for a sort of, you know, what I would consider to be an awakening experience, something that which happened to me, I believe, in 2020, how I began to see the world just really differently. I don't think I could have that. 2020 was a part of it, and just the wackadoo, like everything with 2020 was so wild, like so different. That was part of it. But also, I think there were things that I was doing leading up to that. So perfect storm. And in January, so kind of really before it, literally the same day, it was the same day that New York Times wrote about the coronavirus, and they gave it the name like COVID-19. It was January 8th, and I had this personal revelation about a news story that's always fascinated me. It was a JonBenet Ramsey case. That's how I got onto Twitter. I wrote this, I was really fascinated with the conspiracy of it. Super into the satanic ritual element of like JonBenet Ramsey possibly being a part of this Epstein drama, I thought that her case was so extraordinary and so fascinating and so dark and deep. And then I had like a personal sea change, literally, where I saw the whole case as just a case study in media manipulation and technology and just hoodwinking the public for this gain of our energy, of our fascination, to kind of hold us hostage through news events. And that kind of like all clicked into place of like what they do, how they do it. I already had a lot of information about the case itself, because I had already been fascinated with it. I just, all of a sudden, I saw all my information in a different way. And I was like, oh, wow, this is how they've done it. This is how they've tricked us. And so I had this whole long Twitter thing on how JonBenet Ramsey was actually not an actual child. She never actually got murdered. What we know as JonBenet Ramsey was just a digital identity, a simulated victim. And the whole family is kind of characters, but actual characters. And everything's a play, a stage play.
That was a big... A big thing I took away from your interview with Sam was that you're like, you and Maya Maria are like the queen of like everything is a psyop, which is funny because that's kind of where it leads a lot of people, especially when you start seeing things more and more. It's like, is everything fucking fake? Because we're all of the opinion that history is.
Is a slippery slope. Okay, I'm doing a presentation right now on history is fake, and I'm giving that tomorrow on another podcast with a group out in the UK called Rise Above. Anyway, so I'm like kind of, I'm thinking about that right now so actively of all the things, you know, the ancient Egyptians and like what that means. If that's fake, what is that telling us? And I could just go down a rabbit hole there.
I haven't heard this whole JonBenet Ramsey thing being a digital and all the characters play. So how did you stumble upon that, and what really tied down that anchor for you to believe that it was nothing more than a digital footprint?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And what it was initially was her. I had not looked at her face in a long time. I had not looked at the details of the case in a long time. I knew that her father was a part of this company called Access Graphics, and I knew that they were a computer reseller, and I knew that they had a connection to Lockheed Martin. I knew that all of those things, and I just, that's part of the public story, and I thought that was
that seems like a really heavy tie for a company like that. That's
a very heavy tie, but I understood on a very surface level. I was like, oh, he had a successful company, this rich business. That was a big part of the story too, was her father was this wildly successful businessman, and that was part of like this ransom story. They had like, they thought she was kidnapped by these international like terrorist organization that had a ransom out for her. Like
they certainly did play up the aspects of it that were I guess you could say very predictable. The parts of the story where it's like, oh my gosh, this is a stereotypical child abduction ransom note kind of deal.
Yes, like,
and I'm like, I remember thinking back, because me and my parents just talked about JonBenet the other day, and I said, you know, it's kind of a classic story. I didn't think anything of it though. I was also very young at the time that it happened. I just remember seeing the news reports.
It was saturating. That was at a time. That was at a time, we're probably around the same age, I'm 36, but I was pretty young when it happened, and I remember that every single news outlet, every channel, whether it was the local news, which was actually pretty segmented at the time, seemed to be, every magazine cover, like every channel, and there weren't that many, there weren't as many as it was today, like you didn't have the media in like a million different forms, like she was everywhere, she was on every cover, she was on everything, and I remember People Magazine would always come to our house, that was huge back then, People Magazine told you what was going on, and JonBenet was on the cover of People Magazine every week for like years. And she still is. She still comes onto the magazine. And I think, I've been fascinated by this case for decades. I really have. But now I see it as just a very predictable tool. If it is a false mechanism, if just a prefabricated story, it's designed to be unsolvable. That's why it's not, that's why it hasn't been solved, because it was designed to be never solved. There's nothing to solve if we keep looking at it through this particular lens. Same thing with Madeleine McCann.
I was just about to ask about Madeleine McCann, what you thought about
her. That was the next place I looked. Once I had this revelation.
Hold on, I'm unfamiliar with that story. I'm unfamiliar with that story. What's
she's
that about?
She's the UK JonBenet. Yeah.
I was unaware of that story too until Jen brought it up one time. I'm like, what? How have I not heard of that?
It happened when my daughter was born and her name's Madeline. So I was all like sad to hear it. It was so sad.
That's
so
weird.
Her parents, it's just so sad. Her parents were on vacation in Portugal. And they went to a dinner at a restaurant, just like it would be like 500 feet away, and they were in a little hut or something. The kids were sleeping, they could see them, and they went back and Madeline was gone, and then there's little breadcrumb trails everywhere, and then they blame the parents, and there's always sightings.
To the Podesta brothers and what's her name? Ghislaine Maxwell. If you look back at the actual police sketches, one of the police sketches looks like the two Podesta brothers. It's uncanny. And then another one looks like Ghislaine Maxwell carrying Madeleine McCann away in a blanket.
That is interesting now, too. That's being kind of tied in with the Epstein thing, because there always was something really creepy about the JonBenet thing. Really pedophilic, kind of, than putting him in those pageants and stuff. Even 100%. As a kid, I was like, that's so weird. Why would you do that to your kid?
100%. I think that the pageants were a brilliant part of this design, because I looked into the pageants. Something kept saying, look into the pageants. I never thought to look into them. When I did look into them, what I found was the pageants that JonBenet was purported to have won between the age of 5 and 6. She was highly crowned. She was just on the pageant circuit, won all these crowns. None of those pageants actually existed outside of the story of JonBenet. Outside of her winning, she was like the first, last, and only contestant in any of these pageants, these purported pageants. And then I started finding these really bootleg websites that had gone up towards, I found that these things only existed for JonBenet. And then I started finding all these websites with like fake pageant girls on them with highly digital, not even like dolled up, like, but digital, like, faces. I was like, there's this whole like supporting digital world for these fake pageants that didn't exist. And now there's like, once I started seeing it from an angle of, like just kind of scratch the surface on this onion and you'll like peel it back and you'll reveal how fake it is. Everything started to reveal itself in a really incredible way. And I found that there was never a death certificate for her. There was an autopsy report, which was widely disseminated. That was something that the public clamored for, like, let us see how she died. And they did. They put it out there and it was really gruesome. But nobody thought, because we had the autopsy report, nobody was like, nobody thought about the death certificate. And there is no death certificate. And her parents went on Larry King and said such. Larry King bizarrely asked about the death certificate specifically, and both the parents said they had neither seen nor received, this is 3 years later, they had never seen nor received a copy of their daughter's death certificate. And her body was buried out of state. That's impossible. And these things just don't make sense. Like, you can't do any of these
Not having a death certificate for a very, very, very publicized, high-profile individual does not seem like something the U.S. government would let slide.
Record of her body at the morgue. There's no record of her body at the morgue because those logbook pages that in 1996, it was all analog.
Right.
The logbook pages of her being checked in with her vitals and her whatever was stolen. Some guy came in and just stole those pages. So poof, there's no record of her body being admitted at the Boulder morgue.
So as of right now, the only thing that exists of her existence, like you said, would all be online, right?
And people are like, what about the pictures? What about the video? Okay, back to Access Graphics, back to Lockheed Martin. Why would Lockheed Martin be acquiring a company called Access Graphics in the late 1980s into early 1990s? Because Lockheed Martin at the time was getting heavily invested in what? 3D real-time graphic overlay technology under the guise of doing this for the video game platform systems like Sega and Atari and all these, and at the time it looked very rudimentary for what the public facing, it looked like, you know, late 80s, early 90s graphic systems. But the capabilities of these graphic systems were what we see now with, like, it's, the technology has always kind of been there. Like, what we understand now is deep fake technology. I believe that was being pioneered many decades ago. And that's what the company Access Graphics was. It was basically just a reseller of these systems. They didn't really, actually, it was kind of a shell company. All of it's kind of fake. It's all very fake. What's real is this is all set up as like a way to test this technology.
And see how easy
it is.
See
how believable it is.
Yeah. And, how many and I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes. And if you look at her pictures, and I have my thread is like, my thread is literally me figuring this out in real time and like sharing it. Like, look at me, look at what I'm finding, like step by step. It was like almost like a feverish whatever. I could never replicate that. Unless I had another discovery that just blew my mind.
It makes you hungry. It makes you when you first start unraveling something like that. For me, yeah. A big one was talking to Corey and Chris from Forbidden Knowledge. As soon as he laid out that first kind of hour of what happened with his work, I was like, dude, shut up. Like,
knowledge is all fulfilling.
All of a sudden, all these things, I'm like, oh shit, we've been lied to our whole freaking lives. I will
listen to that one. Yeah, that
episode I will rephrase though, or re-ask what I was saying. What was like your anchor for when you first started kind of like, no, there's no way this is true.
Was
the thing that like really dropped you into it?
Sorry, her face just looked fake to me. I totally glossed over that. Her face, I had also been training my brain without realizing it on a website called thispersondoesnotexist.com. And it is a generator of digitally generated faces. And you just press, you press refresh and there's a new one. You press refresh and there's a new one. They look real at first. Then you remind yourself that no, none of these faces are real. And you'll start to see quite easily and distinctly, like your brain will stop correcting for you. Your brain will stop going, yeah, that's real. Yeah, that's real. And correcting this obviously unreal face. Once you tell your brain, no, stop correcting. Like, I know it's unreal.
Stop it.
You will. You'll refresh and you'll be like, okay, that's not real. So I kind of trained my brain in this way. And then I had taken a break from looking at the case. Again, very obsessed with it, but from an angle of her being satanic, ritually abused. And then I looked at it again and saw immediately that her face was not real. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, what? Is she one of them?
Do you know, like, of anybody who's actually gone in and like done like a forensic photo, you know, analysis of it to see?
No, I don't. But I did do a deep dive on the photo agency that owns and operates all of the key images in the JonBenet Ramsey case. And they are a company called Zuma Press. And Zuma Press is the owner-operator of basically all the important trauma porn, all the major cataclysmic events. They're the ones of the Jeffrey Epstein mugshot, the infamous one with, you know, like the both of his mugshots, which I believe Jeffrey Epstein is also a fabricated identity. I believe him. I've done many deep dives on Jeffrey Epstein being a fictional character, boogeyman who's just propped up. The reason that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, in my opinion, is because if you don't exist, you can't.
So maybe actor playing the part of Jeffrey Epstein, or
I think that he was designed to keep us from looking at a real problem that actually does exist. Like, if Jeffrey Epstein is just in jail, or if he's dead, or whatever, like the problems that exist in the world, it's kind of just a way to like capture our fascination, put it all in one place, and then like put it to bed.
Oh, and they put that to bed in a manner of speaking. The Ghislaine Maxwell thing is kind of the same, though, because...
Still no mugshot.
And they just, she got, you know, arrested, and we haven't heard jack shit since. I guess wasn't there some arraignment, or there was some kind of something that happened a couple months ago, it seems like, but we haven't heard anything else since then.
Right, and I think that people are suing, the victims are suing for something to have more information released about the case. I mean, it's going to all be released within the court documents. It's all going to be public, but it feels like they're doing nothing. Like, they should have some monster case against her. There should be some movement. I'm surprised there's no mugshot yet, or no. There was that picture of her with the bruise on her eye. Which looked very strange.
That's another classic Illuminati theory of the bruised eye.
I know, they're always with the bruises. And bruise, you know, I like to say, no matter what color of your skin, the color of a wound is, you know, the color of a bruise is always purple, and the color of an open wound is always pink, you know, like, and those colors are illusions in some way. I like to explore colors as illusions. So it's kind of like our flesh wounds.
We just talked about that recently, about color, or not color specifically, but like marketing ploys and how, you know, colors do go into different marketing things. And that's why you can't trust the media. It's all a big marketing agency.
A lot of fast food is yellow and red. That's supposed to drive hunger. So if you think a lot of them in red, you know, a lot of them have red.
McDonald's.
I guess, yeah. McDonald's.
Burger King.
Chick-fil-A has
KFC.
Red.
Carl's Jr. and Hardee's is red and yellow.
All of them. Apparently, it activates quickly something in our brain that makes us like desirous, you know, like a craving center.
And then Burger King fucking pumps their smell out into the street. You can smell Burger King like three blocks away. It's like, I know what that is.
Not
it's
too
Burger
far.
King.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
In-N-Out's red and yellow as well.
Oh, they pump their smell out into the streets too.
That's right. In-N-Out's good, but their fries.
Ben's not a big fan. I love In-N-Out. I will eat it all day.
I like In-N-Out.
No. First of all, it's not good enough. It's just not good enough. I'll just
say
that.
Their red and yellow colors work better on me, I guess. So whatever.
No, what works better on me is that if I'm going to go through fast food and I'm going to hear myself getting fatter, I would also like to add barbecue sauce, bacon, and onion rings to that.
Oh, really make it worth it.
Yeah, fucking why not?
Go big or go home. Yeah. Where's that? Is that at Wendy's or is that at McDonald's or where is that? Where's the best bacon? Where's the best
fast food bacon?
Where's the best fast food bacon? That's a good.
I don't know if there is. It's more of like
bad.
A bacon bit flavor in a strip.
Seriously, I know.
It's like a rubbery piece of paper strip that tastes like
bacon.
Quite
possibly just a really, really floppy bacon strip that you give to your dog.
It's just a shoe.
No, it's not that, because I have tried a bacon strip. It is different. It is disgusting.
I've heard that I heard that they contracted with Goodyear. I have no idea.
Yeah.
So what do you think the biggest psy-up of all time is, though? Is it just our history or
right
what we
now,
live
I
on?
Think it's
like,
space.
Can't do that, Joe. We can't do that.
I think
yes,
it's space.
We can.
Oh, really?
Space and dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs is a dicey one for sure. Yeah.
I could see
dinosaurs
that.
Dinosaurs, because dinosaurs tie into, I think, one of the biggest hoaxes, which is fossil fuels. I don't think that oil is what they tell us it is, and I don't think it's running out. I don't think it's running out anytime soon. I think that they can just regulate it in such a way that the market is constricted.
Just
when
like diamonds.
Just like diamonds. Those things are probably worthless.
They
honestly.
Are.
Honestly.
So
they are.
I've looked this up before. Diamonds as a actual geological, and I'm sure that there's somebody on there that's going to prove me wrong on this, but this is what I have read. Is that diamonds have virtually the same geological construct as cubic zirconia, which is the replacement that you end up seeing for fake diamonds.
That's the exact same thing.
Exactly. And they all know that De Beers has monopolized it. They own the diamond mines. And then they have how much and what cuts and what's in to give each country every year by the amount that they have allowed to drive up the scarcity and rarity of the diamond, when really it's not hard to find. It's just that they own all the places where you can find them.
Yep.
And they're just shiny rocks.
Yeah. And they even tell us that they can lab create, and not even the cubic zirconia. Like, they're telling us now that they can lab create diamonds. And it's like, yeah, that's called cubic zirconia. Or that's called.
I bought a 3D printer too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get diamond crusted, you know, saw blades to cut. I don't even know what you cut with them.
Diamond tooth saw blades. Yep.
Diamonds are the most hardy. That is why, you know, talk about value. It's not valuable because it looks shiny and pretty on your finger, although it does. But the real value of diamond is that apparently, based on, you know, engineering, and I'm not really questioning engineering at this point. I do question a lot, but you know, these diamond tipped bulldozers and diamond tipped tools can like bust through earth in a way that no other material can, which I think is pretty fascinating. So there are these true intrinsic values and strengths to these materials that they tell us are valuable, but I don't know if they're really telling us they're valuable in the right way.
There's a difference between the value, like you said, the intrinsic value with it, and the rarity of its intrinsic value.
Right.
Because you can have something that is extremely hard. I mean, think about when they first started coming out with steel and all of the metal work in the industrial age. It was extremely valuable, but it wasn't rare. You could still, you could still ore it and find, or dig for it, mine it, and ore it, and do all of that stuff if you wanted to. But I don't know. I think that the value of it is definitely there. I just don't think that the rarity of it is everything that they tell us it is.
Let's get back to the space thing, because I want to talk about you think space is, because that's a big mystery to me too. But as far as the dinosaurs and fossil fuels, yeah, I don't think oil is dinosaur bones, because you've heard that they can, you know, close an oil well because it's dry, go back a couple years later and it's filled the fuck back up. So where did that come from?
I think oil... just like they teach us in that movie Fern Gully, if you guys saw that as a child. Remember that black goo? I honestly think oil could be a byproduct, an energy burn-off of us, of our energy. You know, I talk about loosh all the time. Like, that's this energetic swirl within our body. We're energetic beings in this energetic realm.
Is that the same as, like, chi or orgone or, you know, the
I think so. Dark matter? I mean, we're radiating. Well, I don't know if chi and dark matter are the same thing. That might be a yin-yang sort of situation where one's an opposite of the other.
Still energy produced by us, though,
it's still
right?
Yeah. And I think that because, you know... you know, when you burn a substance, you typically get like a tar-like, oil-like residue. You know, when you burn off, and what do? We burn calories. We keep ourselves heated. We're heat systems. We're burning. You know, our energy. What if the oil? What if we're like literally powering our vehicles with our own energy, and we're paying for it, you know?
That's kind of cool. Kind of dark, but that's kind of cool.
Super dark.
Like you said, that could definitely be one of the biggest hoaxes.
They would. You know, that's exactly what
overlord
would do.
They're making money off of it.
Yeah. Sell it back to us, and we'll be happy for it.
Okay, so anyway, back to space. Awful. What the fuck do you think space is? That's a big one.
I don't know what space is, but what we have been shown as outer space, I believe to be a Hollywood production, like
at least wildly misrepresented a little bit.
Yeah, misrepresented. I'm not saying space is fake. There's nothing out there. Bleh. Like that's not. Who knows? Who knows what the infinite, the great and wonderful infinite beyond is? If it does exist, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I jury's still out. But what I think we're being shown is nonsense. I think it's just cartoons. And I've done a lot of investigations looking into how, you know, our whole concept of space was provided to us through Disney's working with NASA. And not necessarily even talking about Operation Paperclip, which was like where the Nazis came over and, you know, worked from NASA and Disney and blah, blah, blah. So it was like, well, symbiotic family. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how Disney in the 1940s, before we even knew what space looked like, before we had even sent our first exploratory rocket in 1946 to even take a selfie of Earth, to even know what Earth looked like, to have any sort of scope of what Earth looked like, we really didn't know at that point. We had never seen photographic evidence. We had no clue. We had never been outside. The first time we got outside, quote unquote, was in 1946. Took a picture. Miraculously, the picture that they took looked a lot like what Disney was telling NASA that outside looked like, in the decades leading up to it. How interesting. And also, the Universal Studios, this is something of Rambo, he's one
Universal
of my
just popped into my head as soon as you were saying
1920,
that.
They had a globe spinning ball Earth. We didn't know that it was a globe spinning ball Earth. We had no clue.
Well, I guess the science answer to that would be that they have their math and their theories, and they just so happened to line up with that when they actually got up there. That would be the scientific answer.
But it was years before. It was years before. It was crazy. I don't know. I think that it's really interesting that, I don't know, Hollywood always tells us what space looks like. And right before we went to the moon, we had Stanley Kubrick tell us what space looked like, and which looked astonishingly similar to the moon landing.
No, Kubrick's another rabbit hole for another.
Oh, he
another
is.
Show,
I
probably.
Love it. Yeah, we could go deep. We could go deep through him. But I think that the connection between Hollywood and space is something that should be explored, and it should be explored through the lens of which came first, you know, the chicken or the egg sort of thing.
It's like Red Hot Chili Peppers. Space is the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. A line always stuck out to me. I'm like, what did you know, Anthony Kiedis? What are you hiding? Probably kids.
I just saw a meme the other day that said, it still boggles my mind that this and this were only 66 years apart, and it's a black and white photo of the Wright brothers' first takeoff. And then it's somebody on the moon. And it said, you know, it's really crazy to me that this is only 66 years apart. And I was all, yeah, that is. It's absolutely bonkers. And that's why I don't believe that.
You know, within one decade of the Wright brothers' flight, they already had commercial aircraft. Not just going to the moon, but they already had commercial No freaking way.
No way.
Well, I guess the same thing kind of happened with computers, too. I mean, you go from, you know, the 90s having, or maybe I guess 80s, 70s, but having a computer the size of a room that wouldn't do a bajillionth of what our phone does now. So it does.
I think they just tell us these things. They tell us these fanciful stories about antiquated old technology. When we've always had this really advanced tech, they just dole it out and give us like a fake inventor or something like this. Give us a character who like invented this thing.
Well, they can write whatever they want in the history books. I mean, are you familiar with Crow 777?
Yeah.
So we're going to have him on. Oh, announcement. We're going to have him on next month.
Oh, shit. No way.
Yeah, he's going
to
be awesome.
That episode you sent me was the first time I had ever listened to that podcast. The one that you just sent me the other night about the police stop.
Now, he's a very as far as the show goes, he's wildly different than ours. He's actually knowledgeable and very takes it very seriously. We just kind of talk about farts and stuff, but we do
That's
cover you know serious stuff. But I was listening to him on Sam's show, and he was talking about the second sun and how he's like photographing or like looking through his telescope and sees like a second sun. So that just ties into the weird space thing, but.
Yeah, I
just,
think we don't.
Just to live true to that, you said that, you know, we just end up saying, you know, fart jokes. I was going to say when she said that, you know, when something burns off, it usually burns off. I'm like, yeah, that's definitely what I definitely burn off some black goo.
I was going to say, do you leave black residue in your shorts?
I was waiting for someone to make a poop joke there. Okay, good. I'm glad we circled back to that.
No, you're welcome. We had a whole episode about shitting our pants, and we haven't heard any hate mail on that yet, but we try to, like, minimize the poop, you know? But it is fun. Right. I love talking about poop.
It's my only one, I promise.
I'd be surprised how many times it comes up on podcasts.
Well, in our family, it usually circles back to poop at some point, usually during dinner.
Like
I don't know why.
It's pretty often.
You know, our anus is the first thing to develop in the as a fetus. Developing.
My friend just told me that the other day. Yeah, he said we start as an asshole.
We start
like,
as
no
asshole.
Way.
Yeah, awesome. And you know, to that point, our gut is our first brain. We sometimes say our gut is our second brain because, you know, trust your gut. But our gut is actually our first brain. It
doesn't
develops
it have more neural pathways than your brain does.
Yeah, and it keeps us alive before our brains develop, before our brain even starts, before our brain even exists as a thing, because we start as a butthole, so we go from the gut up. And
I
then,
am
yeah.
so happy with learning this information right now.
You're welcome, listeners.
I'm not sure how long that phase is, where we're just buttholes in space.
I hope it's longer than the rest of it.
What if it's like what if we have no idea what happens? It's like 8.9 months, we're just a butthole, and then all of a sudden we pop out as a full baby.
That explains so many more people.
I don't know how reasonable
just
that
all
is.
Of a sudden, bam, rest of a human.
Yeah, pop. Pop.
Anyways.
Oh, I was going to ask you, how far back do you think we can trust history? Because...
good question.
I don't... I've heard a lot of people say they can't trust anything past, like, the 1800s, but I don't even believe a lot of the 1800s is correct. I mean, history is written by the victors, and America has pretty much dominated victories for the last 200 years, so how much can you really believe?
Corey was saying... Corey was saying what, that the Zionists happened in like the Zion Summit happened in like 1890 or something like that?
I don't know. He went back far on that one. That's the one that blew your brain a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm totally into this concept that our iteration of what we understand as us humanity, like the first generation of this version of us kind of came around, I believe, in the 1890s. Wild West times. Like, I think that's kind of why we have this fascination with Wild West, with like even Westworld, like this idea of showing up in this, you know, character-based. Great show. Really, really asks some big questions that hadn't really been explored before in this type of format. Westworld's an incredible show. But I think it also, just the setting alone and this idea of you know, if you trace back our generations, you know, if you talk about Generation Z, Generation Y, blah, 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 millennials, boomers, the first one, it goes back to, it drops off. The first one that starts is called the Lost Generation, and that's around the mid to late 1800s.
Really? It's kinda like, I did not know that.
It's called the Lost Generation. And I think that it's quite possible that, like, we were just plopped here in this place that was already pre-designed. And we had like a first generation kind of learned the ropes in this already pre-designed world. All the best art had already been done. All the best buildings had already been fabricated. All the best, you know.
Is that kind of like the Tartarian idea?
Potentially, but I think Tartaria is part of the fake design too. I don't know. I think all of this history is like being unfolded in a way for us to maybe one day see that it's all.
So you think, do you think that that's propagated not only by, you know, films, obviously, and movies and how they project, you know, historical events that have happened, but on top of that, the new discoveries that they can date back to support this already pre-written history.
That's a big part. Like dinosaur bones that are being discovered now.
Right.
It's like, y'all, those would have been discovered before. Come on. Like back in, if humans have been around for hundreds of thousands of years or into the, there was no, in no civilization ever was this ground excavated in a way that would have found a dinosaur bone. Are you kidding me? Like nobody found dinosaur bones until our new time, like until we were like having archaeologists do this and have professions around it.
Doesn't the Smithsonian kind of control a lot of that stuff too? Because that's another rabbit hole, the Smithsonian.
Yes. And our parents didn't learn about dinosaurs really. You know, like they didn't really start, or space. Like, well, maybe not our parents, but our grandparents surely. Like they didn't mess with that stuff.
You know what actually supports this idea of a turning of the 20th century kind of being, as you said, plopped on the earth? Is I was just talking about this last night. According to the census, which if that, you know, in any way, shape or form can be trusted, but that actually kind of coincides with, you know, the turn of the 20th century, is that at the turn of the 20th century is when we hit 1 billion people. So you're telling me that for how many hundreds of thousands or how, whatever it is that they claim
that
to be,
they said we've been around.
Which
population should have just like exploded.
There's 1 billion. But then from the 20th century to the 21st century, we have octupled that. We are at 7.8 billion.
Man.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. That's very non-condescending. The 8 times we've done it, we've gone 8 times the amount of people in 100 years that we did supposedly for all time prior to that.
You know, and they would say, well, before there was disease and famine and people were just dying off right and left.
Right,
and
yeah.
But then you take a pause.
50% died in childbirth, and I'm not saying that wasn't necessarily true.
But you look around and you're like, we're not any health. I mean, like the studies say we're healthier, but like they're still telling us that we're being taken down by these invisible mind viruses that are floating around, and like everyone's dying in the streets. I'm not seeing it. Like the story that they tell about like population, I think they've always messed with us about like how many people are here. And how many people are leaving, exiting. But I think that your point about the explosion and the story of how many people are, it's just improbable. Like, whether or not it's true, the numbers, it's just improbable. I don't think it can be true because it's just, I don't know how we could have contained humanity so aptly for hundreds of thousands of years without a population explosion happening. And yet we can do it so immediately.
Well,
in this clinical model.
I guess that's
fertility drugs, but that we're also just kind of, you know, that's another story.
Shouldn't that limit it too? Shouldn't that like limit it down with birth control and stuff? I don't know.
So I'm starting to come to, based on Corey's work and other people, and I think it was, what were they saying? Most of the, or maybe it was him that claimed it, that most of the history books that we know as a curriculum today were written around that same turn of the century. I'm starting to become more of the opinion that one of two things is possible. Either we were complete fucking Neanderthals until the 20th century, and then all of a sudden we just got all this stuff that we decided to make in 100 years, or there wasn't really anything before 1890. We all got plopped here, and that's why we've seen such an explosion, is because that's what was going to happen anyway in our first 130 years here.
Like some implanted memory type of thing.
Right, exactly. So, like, imagine if that 1 billion population, or roughly, just got planted here at 1890 with memories of what our world had been like. And then they said, okay, let them take it from here. Let's see what they do with it. And 130 years later, we see massive leaps and bounds in technology. And now it's like, oh, shit, how are we going to explain, like, what we told them about history? We didn't think they were going to take off that fast.
Ben's going deeper than I do usually.
That's
holy
deep.
Shit.
I think that could totally be possible,
I like it.
Though. So if there is...
Thank you, Jen.
I do, Ben. So I think it's just like if you would think of a super advanced species that had access to anything, and they just created a movie set, and that was Earth.
Yes,
and the Truman Show.
Put us here, like a movie set.
But they're smart enough to be a couple steps ahead, but then sometimes they fuck up, and that's like the Mandela effect, where they're like, oh, shit, we didn't mean to mess up on that one little thing. We're just going to re-implant their memories, like in Dark City, where they'll go back and just give us a little shot. Did you see that one? Mm-hmm. Where they change it all the time. But so then people, but some remember, because you can't control everyone. And we're just this little experiment. That is my theory about all of existence.
I love it.
So, yes, totally believe you, Ben.
Yeah. I mean, if they built, they teach us like SimCity. I had this conversation with my grandmother and
SimCity, my mom. SimCity, that's an old drop. I love that game.
Yeah, SimCity and The Sims. I loved those games. But, you know, I was talking, my parents, my mom, she doesn't really talk about any of this stuff. You know, I might be like kind of out there with everything that I think, but she doesn't really go anywhere near there. And so I asked her, I was like, what do you think about simulation theory? And she hadn't really considered it before. And she said, it's when someone simulates something. Or no, when something happens simultaneously. She said, when something happens simultaneously to something else. And I was like, I'd never heard that before. But yeah, simultaneous and simulation have the same starter. Yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's kind of brilliant. Because like, I don't think we can be in, like simulation theory can't be the thing. Like if we're, it has to be like simulating something else. So like in order for simulation theory to exist, there has to be another world that like, we have
like
to,
a template.
I don't know. Yeah, it has to be like a
like
template.
On SimCity, you could actually go into the creator and you could make it for free, and then you could plop it into the active SimCity network and see how it
and
did.
And they could use your template. Someone else could take. And also, that was like with the Sims characters. Like you could design characters and sell them, and like people would do like fan, like Harry Potter Sims, and like design them and when you like unwrapped, when you did design the sim and you looked at its design and it laid out, it was like a bearskin rug of a human, like a bifurcated human skin, like laid out.
Now, where did they get that idea?
Super creepy. But that's what, you know, that's 3D rendering. Everything lays down. Like there's one skin's layer that lays down like flat skin that's been like a human skin that's been unwrapped. Oh my God, it looks so weird. And then everyone like wraps around the shape. I know.
I got it. When I say I got a bearskin rug, I'm not talking about a B-E-A-R-B-A-R-E.
Oh,
I got a bearskin rug.
So what do you think of the flat earth thing, though, too? We're just going to jump from topic to topic because we kind of do that. Because, yeah,
like
that ties into space, too. So
I like flat earth because I observe flat. I mean, like there's salt flats. Like there's, if the, you know, observably it appears flat, right? But observably we're fucked sometimes, pardon my language, but like we are if we rely solely on our observation without questioning what, like our eyes are round, what if that's messing with the whole thing? Our eyeballs are round globes. What if we're not seeing, what if what we see is like super flat? It's actually flat.
So you're saying that we're viewing a flat earth from a fisheye lens?
I'm saying that we don't question our observation, and we trust it. I believe, I don't care what the shape is. We could be on an eggplant for all I care. What I see it as is division. It's purposeful division. And I think it's designed to be impossible for your eye to check it as a layperson, to like verify for sure myself, to send a balloon up, or like I can't go to space. It's difficult. Like it's difficult for me to really do a test that I can like sink my teeth into. And so no matter what, you're having to rely on either what you believe in a dogma form, like what you've been taught and told your whole life, and you just really stick in with that, and that's it, you know, and that's your truth. Or you're questioning from the you're like, okay, this is my observation doesn't line up with what I've been told, so let me reevaluate and ask questions. And then you see a whole world of questioning around the flat earth, which observably you're like, yeah, it looks flat. You know, I think maybe that argument too, in a way, could have flaws that we have not even thought of yet. And this whole thing could be designed to keep us fighting. When maybe we're in a realm that really the shape doesn't matter, and the shape just works with whatever physics it's being fed.
If you look at the divide and conquer method, which is used ad nauseum all the time, the flat earth thing would be kind of a psyop too. I mean, No offense to anybody out there with the flat Earth idea. David Weiss is a great guy. We had him on.
Yeah, and I'm really interested.
Super interesting, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, everybody's fighting even in this community. They're fighting over whether the Earth is flat or round. It's like, I think Sam says it. He's like, I don't really care whether it's flat or round. It's a realm. We're living here, so who cares what the shape is? But
yeah. I like that word, realm. Yeah.
But whatever dropped us here or created us, I think, would have to know that we would be a little bit intelligent, or that our intelligence would increase and that we would ask
figure
questions.
Figure it out one of these days.
So they would have to have something in place already and say, okay, we're going to tell them it's this and let's see what they do, or let's see what they say. Because we have to make something. They have to have something there, or they can say, let's have someone figure it out, and maybe some of the creatures were like, okay, well, it's this because we said it. But either way, I wonder there's got to be something there.
That's what they do with video games. The video game creators, they create an entire module. Mm-hmm. They have the inside testers, but you never know what's actually going to get dug up in glitches and things like
Easter
that
until
they do a beta release. They beta release it for free, and they have, you know, one map that they're kind of doing it on, and you play this map aggressively for, you know, 2 weeks to a month, and then what they do is they get all the feedback, they find all the glitches, and they apply the same thing to other templates, again there's that word, of other maps and whatnot, to kind of get the bugs worked out. I would not be surprised, going back to what Jen said, if it's one of those like, all right, so we made these little fuckers down there, and they started doing like really good things for themselves, and as a matter of fact, they're kind of going off script from what we had planned. They're finding a lot more glitches
like
than we designed in this game. And instead of 2 weeks to a month, this is, you know, 150, 200 year experiment.
Oh,
and now we're like, oh, shit, they're finding out in half the time things that we never thought they would be able to find. All right, let's close down the beta, fix the problems, reset. And I think that actually plays into a reset if this is all sim theory.
And there's Klaus Schwab with his great reset.
And then some asshole in their research and development team just drops a microchip down here, and like cell phones develop and like planes take off. They get fired, but then they're like, you fucked our experiment.
That's why Westworld is so great, because it's such a great analog to life, kind of, where, I mean, if you think of it in our weird, you know, crazy way, that, you know, they'll like tweak something in their Westworld matrix where they drop a gun here where you wasn't before, or they figure something out they hadn't figured out before. You know, just the sim theory thing is really interesting, and there's no limit to it.
It's like digital gaslighting. It's like it's like saying like, no, this doesn't exist, which is what our, you know, our government's been doing all along. No, this doesn't exist. And then as soon as it does, it's like, yeah, it exists, you asshole. It's existed for years. Why are you guys acting crazy? I will say this, all of this kind of, because my head's starting to hurt.
I know,
but all of this kind of thing, definitely the farther I actually allow myself, because that's what it is, a choice, the farther I allow myself to get red-pilled, the more I just want that black pill so much more, to where I just go, you know what, I'm gonna shove my head where the sun don't shine, and I'm gonna wait till I die. And
well,
I'm
would
ask
say
somebody to pull the plug.
I'd say HV is a little bit close to the black pill by thinking everything's a psyop, and I get close to that all the time too. I'm like, I can't trust anything. I can't trust history. I can't trust what
Come
the government's saying.
The water's fine.
Nothing matters. We're all fucked.
You know. It is a little, it's a little wild.
It's daunting.
It's daunting. And I have to play both sides. Like, there's people in my life that are very close to me that don't really know anything about human vibration. So I don't, when I'm with them, I'm just being my normal, normie self, you know, and I'm not trying to like beat them over the head with like, everything you know and love is fake.
Take it.
Like,
take it.
You take it. Yeah. Jesus is just a template. Yeah.
You know what you should actually do?
Easter Sunday. No, I'm kidding.
If you actually like start to tell them about this, and you start having these conversations with them, I'll do it. I don't give a shit. Actually have some form of like placebo red and blue pill, and put on shades and ask them which one they want to take right before you drop like
yours.
Just a big old load on them.
You got to have the Morpheus glasses that's inexplicably just balance on his nose.
Hang on your nose.
They had no frames. Yeah, they did.
Because it's the Matrix. He can do whatever he wants.
That's Disney with their special effects.
You know, I will, on the idea of the Matrix, I think my parting thought would be, it doesn't have to be this idea of zeros and ones, the walls green, like, and this is all a video game. It doesn't even have to even be like that. I liked what you said earlier about this being a theater. I mean, being a Hollywood set. I think that just show up. This could just be a set that we have arrived at, and it's just the set dressing is really well done. But
the Truman
at some
Show.
Point, yes, it's like a Truman Show. But we are, if we pull back the curtain far enough over, like, we will see the brick wall at the back of the theater. You know, we're gonna. I think we're gonna. Whoa. Well, your green screen just flipped when I said that.
I just pulled Matrix back curtain.
Matrix.
Damn.
Matrix. Yeah, I love it. Yeah,
I got a different curtain. I'll pull back for you later.
Oh, no.
That's interesting, though, too, because it kind of ties in to bring some stupid current events in. The Fauci email, they're not really leaks. They were FOIA requests, and everybody knows my opinion on those. But and anything that's released through FOIA, they can redact as much as they want. So the fact that the information that was released, it was allowed to be released. So it's like
immediate controlled opposition.
Yeah. And then on CNN, they were doing these fawning interviews with him about this very small portions of the email that made him look good. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The spin was
immediate. We'll get through it together.
I know.
It just makes it look so much more like it's a theater. Like, he's an actor, and they're like, okay, we're going into scene two here. Stage left. Bye. Here's your pay.
Yeah.
And see ya.
And what can make people the most agitated in the audience? Well, let's leak stuff and shine it in one light, and then we'll pretend we don't see it in that light, and give you the spotlight again and rally.
I don't know if this is significant at all or if it's just a play on words that happens to be in my mind coincidental, but after 2020, you know, you were talking about we may not be all ones and zeros, but after 2020, a lot of people, like a massive influx of people, are now coming to exactly what you were saying, where the mechanism slowed down enough. Now we're all kind of watching it. And my thing is this, I'm like, I think it's stupid. But we literally do have people that are claiming to be non-binary. So talking about ones and zeros is, I'm like,
is that a gender thing or like a cyborg thing? What is that?
It's a psyop.
I think it's a psyop. That's my thing, is that you have these key celebrities and other people that are claiming to be non-binary. Now, I looked this up the other day because I was as confused as normal people are, that it just literally means they do not accept themselves on as being part of the gender scale. Huh. So they claim to be non-binary, meaning they do not feel fit male or female. They don't know what they are, so they're claiming to be non-binary. Now, I look at that and I go, actually, I think that is, not talking about gender, but as a whole, probably one of the smartest things I've heard. Because if we all are just in sim theory and we all are ones and zeros, actually, that's exactly what you are.
Yeah. We're just being expressed in different, if we're.
It's all projections.
We're just being expressed in different ways. Yeah, you know, like the idea of this fighting over gender. I mean, obviously, looking around, you see that some people have an XX chromosome, and some people have an XY chromosome. People then have an XY chromosome, categorically male. People have an XX chromosome, or categorically female. But this, you're right. Like, these bodies, these body systems, could just be like, you know, at the end of the day, I like to explore how we're just one. We're like a oneness. We're a single consciousness being expressed, like almost like a shattered mirror.
That's my favorite quote from David Icke. He says the same thing. He says it's an infinite consciousness being expressed through, you know, several. Fuck, I butchered
like
it. God damn it! Listen to David Icke.
Through shattered fragments of itself, and then exploring each of it
just to get all the angles.
Yeah, you know? Each perspective is like a different experience that it shares and gets to, but it's all one thing. Shattering its consciousness and then experiencing itself through different experiences, something like that.
And that kind of makes it seem like, you know, we're not as important as a human meat sack then, because you're just doing this, and then you're going to be reborn as a new version of that consciousness. But
I feel much better accepting myself as a human meat sack. Thank you very much.
My other struggle, though, is like, I do like our uniqueness. You know, I feel like we could get lost in that we don't matter. We're just meat sacks walking around.
The nihilistic thing, yeah.
I think that discounts this wondrous, unique experience. I think that maybe it's not a fractured mirror. Maybe it's more of like a grand puzzle. And we are all individually important, and we all have these unique grooves that work together and fit together in certain ways and cobble together in certain ways. And like, I think the more you can like share your I don't know. I feel like, you know, when you meet people, like you get, you can attain more of the puzzle and your grand picture will grow and grow. I don't know. Maybe it's more like a puzzle and less like
I think to go along with the mirror metaphor, have you ever done that thing where you stand in front of a mirror that's in front of you and there's one behind you, you hold your camera
up that,
and it's a continuous picture, right? I would say that ours is more like we're inside of a box made of inward facing mirrors. To us, it's never ending. It's nothing more than all bouncing off of each other in an infinite view, because you're only seeing what's on the other side for as far as you can see, because it's all just reflective. But if you open up the box, there's an ending. There's something more that you could see out there. I think that in the idea that all of this is true, which again, the fact that I'm entertaining this shit is just bananas. But
this is a great conversation.
If this was something that it would be, I think that in a mirror state, that's what it would be. We're all just inside of a mirror, or a box made of mirrors projecting onto itself. And it looks like it goes on forever.
You just described something else called the holographic universe. And it's kind of ties in with sim theory, I guess, but it's that. Yeah, it's like everything. It's not a hologram like you'd see on a on your credit card, you know, like the little
like Michael
thing.
Jackson's.
It's just more of like a 3D representation, you know, we perceive it as solid. Oh, real quick, I want to get to the chats because my keyboard actually died and I can't type back. Sorry, Dusty and Corey, our usuals in the chat. Dusty says, who's the girl besides Jen? That I didn't.
Oh, that's Lene. That's Ben's girlfriend, Lene.
I actually thought I introduced her at the beginning, but I think it was before we started recording. So that's Lene, Ben's girlfriend, Dusty.
That's my boo.
But Corey, how's it going? I'm looking back through your chats. I'm trying not to burp into the mic, too. Sorry.
Let her fly, man. Let her fly.
Oh, Dusty was on a new show. Cool. I'll have to check that out. Anyway. So do you know anything about the holographic universe, then? Have you heard that term at all?
Yeah, I think I'm really interested in holography. Advanced, like laser-based holography is something that I'm really interested in.
I just think of Project Bluebeam anytime I hear like laser projection.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah, and you can actually, what we see as holograms, like existing in 3D, like in the 3D space, like they're kind of showing us now how sophisticated they can be. I mean, they can really look like a physical thing that is as vibrant and as lifelike as a tiger coming at you, or like a.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's
or
it's
Tupac
really,
or Michael Jackson.
Or Tupac or Michael Jackson. Yeah, and I think sometimes what they show us that is like really hokey looking, like just like real fake, like almost like an apparition. But the real technology.
That's because they want us to know it's a hologram.
Right. They don't. Right.
They're like,
they don't
this is
want
the best
to
we can do.
Yeah. That's
right
what
now.
Say. It's like ridiculous. Yeah.
We have janky technology. Yeah. Nothing to worry about here.
So in a sense of like a holographic universe, a hologram really means the capability to project what appears to be a lifelike reality. So just by that thought alone, a holographic universe with the capability of projecting a lifelike reality, sure. We could be in that, you know, sounds like it, you know, it sounds like that has the capacity to do that. If we lived in this like advanced hologram.
Well, it kind of seems like that when you think about how the way, or at least the way atoms are described to us is like pixels.
It's like constant in motion, just like pixels vibrating and like everything at the base structure is just, you know, I've never done psychedelics. I really want to.
Oh my God.
I think I will. I think I will be doing
that
soon. I would like to do mushrooms. But you know, when people I've talked to many people that have done it, and a common theme is like you kind of see the fractal nature, like this digital bit like nature of nature. You know, you'll look at a tree and you'll see instead of seeing leaves, you'll see like pixels in the air, or you'll see it vibrating in a way. Like you actually see the fundamental motion of what exists around us solidly, like you'll see it in a whole new way. I think you would really enjoy it. I think I would too. It's gonna happen soon. Human vibrations, gonna do psychedelics.
Definitely do mushrooms at least. I mean, it's nature.
Yeah, it's
bad
mushrooms.
For you.
I'm not gonna do acid. I sound like just a narc. No, I'm not.
I'm gonna boot you off now. Bye.
I'm gonna ingest mushrooms soon. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It'd be fun.
That would be a lot.
Imagine what I'll see with my brain.
Please.
I'll probably have like a total 180 and be like, no, everything's real. It's all real.
It's all real. I'd be shocked if you had that reaction. You're doing the wrong mushrooms. I
know. What if I took a total flip? Oh no, that would be bad. And it broke me. What if it broke human vibration? No, I got
to. No.
So how do you, if, Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to ask how she came up with the name Human Vibration. Does it have to do with your the morphic field? I don't think I said
that
right.
Yeah, the toral field. The toral field around us.
That
I was
one.
Just exploring that. Exactly. I was just really getting into the idea that our beings, I was really exploring the idea that we were computers, you know, like that we were bio-organic computational machines with our brains being like a central processing unit with our
I think that's pretty
you know,
accurate.
Random access memory. Even the skin, like the skin of a computer system, like we're is a shell casing of a computer, like our skins is a shell casing of our body. Just lots of little, if you want to go down a list of everything that makes up a computer, like there's an anatomical correlation within the human body. And in that, I was really realizing how electrical we are, how energetic we are with our central nervous system. Our blood is not just pumping oxygen. I mean, oxygen is an energetic release system. Oxygen is highly combustible. You know, our mm-hmm. bodies are just these energy delivery systems, and our emotions are also energetic. And at that time, I was kind of getting into this one Twitter user called Gray Tonka. She, at the time, was really exploring how our cities are formed and built and mapped out around water systems, and like in a way that it seems to like gather the most traffic and things around water systems, as if like our energy was being pulled, like they wanted it to be around the water. And I started to realize that maybe our cities and monuments and things that we're all drawn to as human beings could be ways to get our energy. And I started really, and then I got into this idea of louche. That was all simmering, percolating. So this kind of like energetic, more cosmic, spiritual bent to me was happening a few months like leading up to what I believe was like a total fracturing of my understanding of this world in January of 2020.
Did your own psychedelics without even having to do it.
I think in a way, and I think our brains do, like they have DMT, you know, our brains will kick out DMT. And anything that's done by psilocybin, like the we have cannabinoids in our brain, so like what we produce with THC, we actually have that in our brain already. Brain can produce that. Kind of interesting.
They've proven that a million times.
What's that?
Oh sure, yeah. So louche, what I believe louche is, it's not my phrase. It's a man named Robert Monroe wrote a book about basically this idea that the world is like an energy factory, and we are the factory workers. Like we're also the machinery as well. Like we are the byproduct. Like we're our energy, our human and collective energy. You know, if you were to measure it, like on an individual level, I have a certain energy output. You know, based on my temperature and my the rate of all the processes happening in my body, and the food that I have ingested into my system, the fuel that I literally have in my system at the time, the measurement of material in my blood, I have a certain X amount of energy. That goes for everyone, and everyone's got a different energy register. But collectively on Earth, if you were to take the temperature of the Earth, quote unquote, like if you were to measure all human energy at any given time, there would be a number for that. There would be a number. It's hard for us to measure, but there is a sum total of human energy. And that is louche, like our energy that we individually and collectively have as energetic beings. We don't really have a name for it, you know? We just, sometimes we call it our emotions, sometimes we call it stress, sometimes we call it, we don't really have it. So the term of our sum output of total energy within the system, physical energies, emotional energies, psychic energies, psychedelic energies.
How do you spell that?
Louche, LOOSH.
Because I'm going to bookmark
that's
this.
That's cool. Do you think it's being harvested or anything? Or
I think it could be.
From
I think
something that, like in Ferngully, like Hexus, the evil
totally
sludge creature or whatever. So
I think that there's something very, I think that we are the most valuable. I think our energy, our human energy, is the most valuable resource on the planet, and I think that our time is the most precious thing we have. And I think sometimes, with modern life is designed to like give us money, which is an illusion, for our time, which is very powerful and precious. And if you're doing things that you don't like and that don't fulfill you and sustain you, like I mean, just think of like all that negative energy that just swirls within us, like driving to work with like that fear. Feeling, especially if you don't like your job and you have that feeling of dread, like all day you're just having this inner, like your whole energetic being, your energetic state, and then stress at work, and then you come home and it's traffic, and it's like your whole day psychically I mean, and you feel down, you feel this pull. You actually feel like when you're depressed, you actually feel like an energetic pull downwards, almost like a vortex of energy pulling you down. Opposite is true when you're joyful. Like there's even a word for it. You're feeling light on your feet. You actually have a energetic pull upwards, like an uplifting, joyous buoyancy that comes from that type of energy register. So there's like this whole idea that certain energies within the body have different vibrations, like have different like weights to them, have different like matter within the body and do different things within the body. I don't know. I mean, I think it's something. Our energy is very special, I believe. And I think that the reason that they distract us with all this fakery is because they know how important it is. And they want us psyched up about things that don't matter. And they want us not focused on things that do. And
I think that's pretty glaringly obvious. Totally. I mean, yeah, I always say it, but especially in the last year, it's been such a great, you know, in your face thing the last year of all this shit going on that it ties everything together so nicely, and I thank the overlords for that, because it's like, thank you for showing it to way more people.
So how can we keep it sustained? Like, how can we keep it in ourselves?
I was just like, going to say that. I was like, how do you protect from that?
How do we not let them have it?
I have been thinking about this for a while, and I think it has to happen on an individual level, and I think that we all have to be the keepers of our kingdom, of our temple. Like we have to protect our energy. I like to say now, like, protect your energy like you would protect your neck in a fight, you know? Like, don't
dukes up.
Don't make a rap song
out of it. If you have if you watch the news before you go to work and it hangs with you while you're driving to work, just stop watching the news before work. Like, protect your energy.
Or altogether.
You know? Or altogether. It's surprise. What I like if you need to know it, you will know it. So and whatever, like that goes through all time.
Yeah,
you will know it, and I think that
they'll
make
sure you know it.
They make sure you know it, and so if you just disconnect from, you're not gonna miss out on the really important stuff.
You're not gonna miss shit.
You're not gonna miss anything. You'll know it if you need to know it.
And that's why I always say I can't look at Facebook for very long. I scroll basically about 6 inches before I'm like, no, okay, why did I go on here again?
Politics. People complaining, like I don't go on Facebook either, because as soon as I log in, I have like my uncle and cousins are fighting, like one's liberal, one's conservative, and they're just like fighting over nonsense. Like most, like they just caught all the bait immediately. They always catch the bait and they start fighting, and it's like, oh y'all, like even today the Fauci emails, and it's like someone sends a snide thing, like this truth's coming out, isn't it? And it's like, ah, this is just a little, like, you know, like ah.
I loved your impression. That was pretty spot on of everybody that does that.
I think that's one of the biggest, bringing it back to PSYOPs. We can close out here pretty soon, too. We got kids going crazy out there.
Bringing it back to the
PSYOP thing, the red-blue, you know, Democrat versus Republican thing is probably one of the bigger ones that are right in your face every day. That is 100% manufactured. And if you don't see that, you're just not fucking paying attention. Like the people that are, we have a couple friends that will come over and just nonstop rag on one side or the other, and it's like, you're not, look at what else is going on though. This is who cares about the politics of it?
Easy, like, it's a low-hanging fruit, easy track. Yes. It doesn't matter who's in there, like we're gonna get fed some script no matter what. Like, I think
I just said this to my parents a couple weeks ago, as I said, everything has been fabricated for us to make an easy choice. And I've said it before 100 times, saying that they have nominees for each party is like telling my son, do you want Cocoa Puffs or Trix for breakfast? He's going to make a choice and feel like he chose his breakfast. But what about eggs and bacon and waffles and everything else out there that you could have for breakfast that he doesn't even think about because he's been given the illusion of choice? Yeah. So my thing with the two-party system, it goes into that, is that if you took away everybody's identity and just put them up on a podium and said, what are you going to do for this country? And let people, regardless of what they claimed, just go by their merit and what they're going to do for the country. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, I have a feeling that just based on different policies, you would end up maybe voting for the party that you don't claim allegiance to, because there's no parties. And it would also just be based on the people, not what they're giving us. If they have 10 nominees, guess who's picked the 10 nominees? The people who don't care which one of them wins.
Interesting. Yeah, I think this is the party system is polarization. It's prepackaged polarity. You know, they tell us there's only two sides, and they, and even the way that they design the issues on the sides, and how, you know, sometimes like the party platform of the Democratic Party of, like, let's say like the 1940s, 50s, somehow switches, and now they're like the conservative platform, and it's like. The switcheroo just is inexplainable. It just happens, and it's like then it'll probably happen again, where there's some sort of weird tumble where conservatives are begging for things that liberals have been. Oh, it's just so weird, and we don't realize, like this, we're just caught up in this slow moving shit. If you're blind to your party, you're gonna miss the nuanced changes and stuff. I love your idea about getting rid of the party identities because it will force people to. Look at the issues. There's a lot that could be better about the way we're doing everything. You know, everything could be better. Not just one thing in the country. Everything. We have a wonderful, beautiful place, realm. This place is stunning. But we're acting like fools sometimes, you know, and our governments are fools, and they're, they don't get anything right.
I think a lot of it, I was listening to yet another show today about the NPC idea, the non-player character, also plays into the simulation theory, but there are a lot of them, and you see it every day. Like they talk about the CDC coming out with zombie apocalypse, preparedness. I'm like, it's already fucking here. Have you gone to the store lately? People with two masks walking around on their phone, taking selfies with their fucking vaccine. And I'm like, they're fucking
NPCs.
And
they're just stupid. I don't think they're really NPCs.
I'm more inclined to think that as well. Yeah. They're just dumb.
No, it's more an allegory though.
I think they've been
turned into NPCs. The NPC of our life.
Yeah, by choice.
They're like, they're robotic. They're not even questioning. I live in a state. I'm in Texas. No mask mandates. You can go to the grocery store. You can go anywhere without a mask. I live in a neighborhood that borders like a really nice part, so I can go one way and go to like my neighborhood, which is kind of ghetto, or go to, you know, a little bit farther and go to the Whole Foods if I'm feeling fancy. So
and rich.
When I'm feeling rich. Well, I was over there after yoga, which makes these theme even more even fancy.
Oh my god, you hit
that.
Stop for Starbucks.
No, I don't go to Starbucks.
It's a soy latte.
It would be a soy latte.
Half calf, double cup.
You've got me pegged.
I was just gonna say that.
Actually, it would be coconut. It would be coconut milk.
Oh, that's good. I like it. I can dig it.
That is good. But you know, so if I go to my grocery store, nobody's wearing masks. Like we're free. But if I go to the yuppie one, every single person, and these are quote unquote highly educated, well-to-do individuals that should have. Thought like should have these cognitive processes that it's okay, we're good, we're out of the woods, whatever. Like I don't really think we're ever in the woods, but we're at whatever woods we're there, we're out of it. And I think that they just can't. They're like desperate to cling on. I don't know why they're still wearing masks. I was the only one in the store, and they don't even have the people. They don't have the people outside saying you have to wear a mask. They took all the signs down. You don't have to wear a mask.
There was an article about that, about how people. Oh, Ben, were you about to say that about how why people love the mask and love the pandemic? It's insanity.
It is.
They're either NPCs or, like Ben said, just fucking morons. They're like, we love the pandemic. We love covering our face. We love showing how much we care about people. And we don't like to look like conservatives either.
I was going to kind of respond to her statement about these are, you know, supposedly highly educated people. Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, if you guys are familiar with him, he's been on Joe Rogan, a Canadian professor that has become widely known for several things now, but he's also a psychologist, you know, his neurochemistry. The guy is an absolute brain. And his thing is this, is that he goes, the problem with people who put such a stock into academia, specifically now one that is geared towards telling you what they want you to know and has been on the decline for thinking for yourself, is the fact that you go from 12 years of academia into being told that you need more of it. And then 22, 26 years later, you're getting these kids that might as well have never had any real life experience that immediately start propagating their opinions as if they are smarter than everybody who has had decades of real life experience intertwined with their academia. Mm-hmm. And if you don't agree with it, you're an asshole because they know more because they have a doctorate on their wall without having been able to apply it at all in their life to actually real world scenarios.
Because science.
And I absolutely agree with that. All you have is we're coming in an age where, I mean, it's been for years now that it's hard to get a job without getting an associate's or a bachelor's. Yeah. Even now, bachelor's have been completely downgraded to what they used to be. And you have these people that are getting these degrees that have zero life experience, but because they think they're smarter, instead what they're doing is they're listening to the people that fed them the same degree about wearing their masks. And so they go, well, I have a degree and I know that masks are safer. It's like, no, you just have a piece of paper on your wall to show that you're an asshole. That's what you have.
I've actually found a lot of the people that I know that have gone through medical school, like they don't, I feel like they almost went through like a boot camp where like it took their soul away. Like they like, yes, sir, yes, sir. Like they don't question, you know, they don't, I feel like they were the most adherent to all of this. I mean, the programming is very strong, but you'd think that if you go to medical school, you'd have a little bit more belief in the human immune system and like,
or at least an open mind.
Or an open mind.
No, COVID killed the immune system.
Or, well, COVID killed the flu for sure. Just flew away.
Oh, yeah, it went out the window.
Shout out to Ron from New England. He says that all the time. He's like, COVID killed the flu. It's gone.
I love it.
Until they want it to come back, I guess.
Yeah, and then it'll come back as something else. They just rename it. They just give another name, and we get scared, and they can hype all this up. You know, I think a lot of disease is internal disease, and then our body expresses that in sickness and in ways, and our immune systems have responses. I think a lot of things go away when you live when the air you breathe, the water you drink, the food you take in, and most importantly, the emotions you allow, like the thoughts you allow. Garbage in, garbage out is not just fast food, junk food. It is like garbage information in your brain will cause negative experiences in your body.
I think you can definitely feel it. Like if you're on a real tangent for like an hour of thinking about something that you're worried about, you can actually feel it in your body. I've definitely noticed that. Like I can actually be like, I actually feel like shit. Mm-hmm. Like I got to think about something else. It's crazy.
That's even a phrase. You worry yourself sick, right?
Like
I'm worried sick.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a whole thing that goes with that. Knowledge dictates thoughts. Information dictates thoughts. Thoughts dictate emotions, and emotions dictate actions. Everything ends up being, if it's garbage in, it's garbage coming out, and it ends up coming out in the way that ends up hurting everybody. So I don't know. Keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep your minds open, question everything.
Do you, before we get out of here, do you have anything you want to plug? Any, Instagram, anything?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter, under Human Vibration, at Human Vibration. Also on Instagram, @HumanVibration_Insta. And I've got a podcast on Apple Podcast. I co-host with two other guys. It's called Real Eyes Radio. Real fun. Chats about all of these crazy subjects, but in a lighthearted way, kind of questioning this world around us and celebrity and history and science and all these fun things, and kind of keep trying to keep it lighthearted because it can get real deep, real fast.
That's why we do that, because it's
You guys have a really good levity about it. I think this is the way to go. I think this is, I have really enjoyed talking with you. So I appreciate
awesome.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks
also
for coming
have a
on.
Patreon, a Patreon for Realize Radio, and also a show with my Maria. Shout out to my Maria, my twin flame. We have a show together called Mating in the Matrix, and it's kind of a relationship, navigating relationships and exploring, you know, even friendships. It's not just about guys too. It's like, how do you interpersonal relationships in this real relationships in this fake world? You know, talking about.
Oh yeah, I remember you talking about that on Sam's show. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's on Patreon. Our second episode just kicked out. And then, so a lot of fun stuff. And I'm on a bunch of podcasts. I think you can just search the name Human Vibration in Apple Podcasts. And a lot of the guest shows that I've been on will pop up. So
perfect. You'll definitely find it on ours. But thanks for coming on. We'll schedule you again sometime. We have other people, I'm sure, that would love to do kind of a group chat too with you.
Reach out to Rambo. Just got new audio equipment. I got him set up with a new microphone and headset because audio is awful. You guys should reach out. But now it's better. So you guys
ours is awful. Like about 50%
of the time. Yours sounds great.
It does right now.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah. There's always like some post-production problem that happens, or like
every
we forget
time.
To hit record, something. Or some crazy thing happens. Like, whoops, we have silly problems.
I don't find out till after the fact too, so it's really annoying.
You're like, oh, that whole episode.
Or there's like a click the whole time. Click, 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 click.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, y'all. I mean, I just do a fraction of what you guys are doing, but like I totally you have no idea on the post-production how long it's going to take, and if it's like some little clicking noise, you got to sit there and you got to take out all the clicks or whatever. It's like,
I don't even do that. I just tell people to fucking deal with it. Don't listen to
our audio. The first three episodes was so bad, connecting with Rambo in the UK, and he didn't have any internet. Same. We're like, oh my god, y'all, get it together. But we finally
did. That's how it's supposed to be. I wouldn't trust a podcast that sounded awesome the first three episodes.
Well,
like,
then ours must
suck.
Be great.
No, that's when you know it's produced by Disney.
No, I think about it like this. It sounds like that because we are genuine. You know, we're real. We're in my son's room, for Christ's sake. Get over it.
Doesn't look like it though. It looks cool.
No, it looks very cool. I like that you guys have the live 3D live graphic backgrounds. Back to JonBenet.
I made sure to actually set up the green screen that Joe got me since
that
I'm considering I'm in my sister's old room in my parents' house. I'm like, yeah, I need to. Some people need to look at that. They don't need
Might
to look
well
at the hope chest behind me.
We're talking about like simulation theory, and we're just like, look at where we are. And it's like this whole fake thing. And we're just like, look at our badass.
You
like,
heard it
talk
here.
About
that is a great point.
We're
legit
in
bat.
His fucking son's room.
Legit
like.
Bat is a psyop. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Everything's fake, opposition. Y'all. Everything's fake. I've been trying
all right.
to say it.
Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate
Thank
having
you.
You
so much. Yeah, this was great.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Bye. Thanks for joining, everybody in the chat. Anybody listening on the regular feed, and we will see you guys next time.
Wait, don't Lene say something.
Something.
Say hi.
Hi. I'm more of a listener.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
okay.
Hang on. Let me.
It changes the video all the time, so I can't.
Yeah, the video.